Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
America, I welcome you to another epic episode number 93 of the rogue and infamous and legendary Von Wiehunt Show from Valhalla Studios in the mountains of Arizona. And tonight's episode is Red Putin's Ukraine invasion. As my stormtroopers with machine guns have surrounded the studio tonight, we are broadcasting all over the nation into 15 countries and more, counting also into the Eastern European war theater and the Ukrainian front. Our message is getting through. We hear through Putin's Iron Curtain in Russia. We are broadcasting in Moldova and other parts of the Ukrainian front. And Von Wiehunt's forces have seized the radio station tonight.
Erlauben, und ich glaube, ich spreche im Namen aller Anwesenden, unsere Freunde darüber zum Ausdruck zu bringen, dass Sie, Herr Feldmarschall von Rundstedt, wieder zum Oberbefehlshaber der Weststreitkräfte ernannt worden sind.
Sparen wir Reden für die Siegesfeier und kommen wir gleich zur Sache. Luftwaffenstärke?
Luftwaffenstärke, Feldmarschall.
Kurz, bitte.
So I told you on the last show, the world is about to learn the meaning of the old phrase, weak men create hard times. You're always a world of war. There's always plots, invasions, broken treaties, troops amassing at the border, unbridled immigration, proxy armies, crisis actors. The truth is ever elusive in a time of war. But this show will always be at your service, America. As I've told you time and time again, you will leave no stone unturned in our quest for a better nation and a better tomorrow for all. The American dream is not the Ukrainian dream. The Ukrainian dream right now is to survive, get through the day. They're being shelled with artillery, troops on the ground. Many people have already died. Last week's show, we talked about Red Dawn Ukraine. We hope that this scenario of war does not happen to our great nation or what's left of it. Red Dawn America was a real thing when I was growing up in this country. It was taught to us that it could happen at any time with the Russian army or the Chinese army or the UN army. We were ready, buff, eagle eye, strong. Right now, America is the dumbass country sponsoring the invasion from both sides. We just stopped buying the Russian oil. Putin has been using that money to finance his war machine. If you're on the streets somewhere in the Ukraine tonight, we know you're getting our message. Thoughts and prayers and minds are with you. We hail with you for victory. Because right now, there are no good guys in either government. But I'm with the people defending their homes, their towns and cities from a Russian onslaught. It's been said many times that Ukraine was one of the most corrupt countries in the world. But so is every other country. And so is Russia. If you think St. Putin is going to save you, or that he'll be the savior of the world, you're sadly mistaken. If you think that there was no good actors here, you are correct. There are no good actors in the governments per se, but I will say the Ukrainian president, actor-turned-politician Zelensky, has been doing a fantastic job rallying his people, boosting their morale, asking incessantly for arms in a no-fly zone that is elusive for good reason, because no one wants World War III. But at the same time, we have to stop thinking what's on Putin's mind. We want Putin, Vladimir himself, to worry about what's on our mind here in America. If you're on the streets of Ukraine tonight, we wish you well. Godspeed. Be safe out there. It sounds a lot like this. It's been about 2 weeks since the invasion, and Putin's Red Armies have not secured or conquered Kiev yet. Now, a lot of people rich in the show, as you can imagine. I did hear Putin's speech. I have seen his speeches to the people of mighty Russia. But I say this, no matter where Putin's extended border is, There will always be missiles on the frontier border of Russia. It is really what I call Putin's trick, his foreign policy trick, to keep wanting more and more territory for mighty Russia, the huge landmass, to finally feel secure. Putin keeps moving the goalposts, and Biden and NATO also exacerbated this war situation, and they are complicit. But they've been fighting over there in the Ukraine for many years, and there are no good actors over there, as I've said. Now, America right now is standing on the abyss. As America gets weaker, our enemies become even more emboldened and empowered. Now, I told you before, God forbid, that I would not rule out a strike on our homeland. Hopefully it's never nuclear. It's not really a question so much of Putin being the man that basically cannot win Ukraine quickly. This was supposed to be a two-day operation. But basically, it's going to be a long, drawn-out war. Mark my words. Now, he's in the fight for his life. Putin is. Surrounded by people who are thinking he might not be the man for the job going forward. He's desperate for a win. He's furious in the Kremlin. China is furious at him for not winning this quickly, making the Soviets look bad. And, you know, in Beijing, they are very, very angry at Putin tonight. This was supposed to make the communist world look great, look stellar. It's not. Now, this week, I told some friends I sent four messages to the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky. And as you all know, he has the international brigade that he has started up. Now, I told him that he's got about 16,000 international brigade guys right now that have already come over to the Ukraine to fight. You need about 1 million to fight against the Red Army. You need at least 500,000. Most Americans don't know that Ukraine is about the size of Texas. So it's a very large country, very large landmass. And, you know, it's one of those things where you need a lot of guys to cover a lot of ground. When I emailed Zelensky on Twitter, I told him, what you got to do is you got to offer some people. You need a lot more guys to come over there. So I said, look, do this. Offer for 1 year tour of duty, offer Ukrainian citizenship to the international fighters. I also sweetened the pot and said, you should ask for 25 acres of land to be given to the soldiers. The fighters should get Ukrainian army back pay. Once the Ukrainian local economy starts going again, and you got to repopulate, because don't think for a minute if the Ukrainian people are going to come back from Poland and Moldova and elsewhere to go back to Ukraine. Most will, but many will not. So you need polygamy in Ukraine to repopulate. Each fighter should have as many wives as he can comfortably afford. And I mean that because the decimation of your population, the killing, the outright murder, shelling that's going on incessantly, it's not good. So I predict about one-third of the Ukrainians will not return. They'll be settled in Poland or elsewhere when this is finally over. Some may trickle back. You'll get the bulk of them back, but not all. So you need new warriors and a new warrior class. Those fighters should be able to have a few wives out there on the frontier of Russia or Belarus. And they should be able to procreate, build up their farm or ranch, and build back the country. So think of that while this is going on and playing in the background.
Mr. President, there are one or two points I'd like to make, if I may.
Go ahead, General.
One, our hopes for recalling the 843rd bombwing are quickly being reduced to a very low order of probability.
Two, in less than 15 minutes from now, the Ruskies will be making radar contact with the planes. Three, when they do, they are going to go absolutely ape, and they're going to strike back with everything they got. Four, if prior to this time, we have done nothing further to suppress their retaliatory capabilities, we will suffer virtual annihilation. Five, if, on the other hand, we were to immediately launch an all-out and coordinated attack on all their airfields and missile bases, we'd stand a damn good chance of catching them with their pants down. Hell, we got a 5-to-1 missile superiority as it is. We could easily assign 3 missiles to every target and still have a very effective reserve force for any other contingency. Six, an unofficial study which we undertook of this eventuality indicated that we would destroy 90% of their nuclear capabilities. We would therefore prevail and suffer only modest and acceptable civilian casualties from the remaining force, which would be badly damaged and uncoordinated.
General, it is the avowed policy of our country never to strike first with nuclear weapons.
Well, Mr. President, I would say that General Ripper has already invalidated that policy.
That was not an act of national policy, and there are still alternatives left open to us.
Mr. President, we are rapidly approaching a moment of truth, both for ourselves as human beings and for the life of our nation. Now, truth is not always a pleasant thing. But it is necessary now to make a choice, to choose between two admittedly regrettable, but nevertheless distinguishable post-war environments. One where you got 20 million people killed, and the other where you got 150 million people killed.
You're talking about mass murder, General, not war.
Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the breaks.
I will not go down in history as the greatest mass murderer since Adolf Hitler.
Perhaps it might be better, Mr. President, if you were more concerned with the American people than with your image in the history books.
General Turgeson, I think I've heard quite sufficient from you. Thank you very much.
That's from the movie Dr. Strangelove, and I thought you would enjoy that. Those conversations, I'm sure, are going on right now in the bowels of the Pentagon, talking about the nuclear war and annihilation, which nobody wants. But you see, we're at really the abyss. We're at the brink, and we need to scale back a bit. At the same time, America needs to be strong, and we need to take the initiative. We need to be a little arrogant, a little bit, on the foreign stage and platform. So we need to put ourselves out there as a country and not always worry about what the Kremlin's going to do. They've already made their move. Sure, Putin has many nukes. We need to be very wary of that, very cautious of that. But that's why I felt the urge this week, like I said, to email President Zelensky and tell him what I would do if I was in his shoes. The foreign fighters need something to fight for, and they'll fight a lot harder and a lot more ruthless against the Soviet invaders if they know they're fighting for land and acreage and actual blood and soil of that nation. Many of those guys may not want to live in their host country anymore. Right now you've got, you know, guys from the former American colonies. You've got Canadians. You got guys from Europe, mighty Europa, and the United Kingdom, et cetera. And they may want to move to Ukraine. And I told a lot of guys, if you're looking for some action, in more ways than one, but if you're looking for some action, I tell you, the war front of Ukraine is going to be one hell of an adventure. You're going to have the adventure of a lifetime. You might get shot, you might get killed, but there's also strength in numbers. So those guys going over there, you guys have wanted a war. Now, I say we need you on the home front, but if you go over there, stay intact, stay alive, and get some good combat experience. And by the way, there's many reports coming back, there's hand-to-hand combat with the Russian army. So you're going to be fighting hand-to-hand in those close urban quarters. Now, today, I'm sure many of you guys saw the tank column that got ambushed, hit-and-run tactics. That's more von Wiehunt style, 1776 style. We're going up against the biggest army ever, and I think the hit-and-run tactics are the way to go, but anything can happen in war. That's why it's called war. Now, it's one crisis after the other, but if you guys are looking for an adventure of a lifetime, if you've ever wanted to be a soldier of fortune for a nationalist country, I say we're going to need you here in America, but some guys are already going over there to the Ukraine. We hope they are safe, and we hope they come back to America, because I could see, not right away, but down the road, where a Ukraine could actually be an American state one of these days, with the UN armies coming in, or Chinese, or even a multicultural mongrel army coming down to attack our good people here in this country. So we talked about those wild scenarios before, but as I told you, those things tend to happen over time. We're very safe in this country for now, but we saw what they did during COVID. We saw the writing on the wall. Their ultimate aim is to control and micromanage all Americans, and we all know that's true. Their ultimate aim is to take your weapons. Their ultimate aim is to take your ammunition. Bottom line. Now, Biden is engineering himself a war. Obama and Hillary always wanted a war. Now, we were not in war when Trump was president. Trump got us out. They were trying to push Trump into Syria. He got us out wisely. But the Democrats are back in, so we're back into a possible Democrat war once again. That seems like the goal of the Biden election anyway. It looks like his political wings, so to speak, are about to be clipped by the midterm elections. A lot of predictions of Republicans winning in 2024. And the pressure is on to get our boys over there. And in harm's way, it's always the American way. Their version on the Democrat side of America first is putting American boys, our soldiers, our great men and women, in harm's way. That's their version of America first. Our version of America first is more of the George Washington style, not to get entangled in so many foreign wars and various entanglements overseas, and look at the home front. As I told you before in the past show, to the Democrat Party, the Ukrainian border is sacred. Our Mexican border to our south, they don't give a rat's ass about. They don't give a damn about. Our local border between Texas and Mexico. So if you think gas prices are high now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because if NATO installs a no-fly zone, there could very well be a direct confrontation with Russian Soviet pilots, even though they're not what are called the Soviet Union. They now have their flag is the old Russian Tsar flag, and it's red, white, and blue, if you notice. But it's not the same, right, the red, white, and blue as our flag. Their flag does not mean freedom and liberty. In fact, Putin has censored all the media outlets inside mighty Russia. And as I told you before, he actually raided independent radio stations and all media outlets that were talking about the war and not talking about the Kremlin line, so to speak. So just keep that put that in your pipe and smoke it. As I told you before, I can see a day in America where this radio station at Valhalla Studios could get raided by some dictatorial power down the road. Wouldn't surprise me. Won't happen tomorrow, but that's why we have our stormtroopers around the radio studio tonight. Wait till they see our shock and awe campaign. Yes. And now, I guess, when you look back in our little crystal ball here in Radio Land, we look back on Biden and we understand now the reason for the quick withdrawal from, drumroll please, Afghanistan. And when China and Russia saw how weak Biden was, how American troops were getting slaughtered by the local population, etc., they thought now's the time to make my move. It is true that Trump would have never tolerated this. He would have put out signals to Putin, don't you even dare try. So if you were in the Ukraine, my question to you guys, and I know you're getting our message out there tonight. If you're in the Ukraine or Moldova or Poland, call the show tonight. You can get through on the international line, but our number is 563-999-3437. I'd like to talk with you guys if you're handling humanitarian aid for the refugees, et cetera, or if you're a fighter, definitely call in. But it's a situation where that part of the world, these things have been brewing for a long time. If you're in Ukraine and the Russian military is on your border for months since last April, and you are living the normalcy bias where you don't think you'll ever be invaded, you'll never have a problem. Note to self, I would say, yes, the Russian bear could very easily invade. Countries don't do things by happenstance. There are no coincidences in government. If they're amassed at your border, they have a one-track mind. Most governments, they will invade eventually, and they basically did. Yet again, that theory has been proved. You should have been buying weapons in the Ukraine. You should. A lot of you are on the news saying, we never knew this was going to happen, and I feel for you, but you should have been. You definitely knew the Russians were there. So a lot of you folks, I don't want to add insult to injury. Don't get me wrong. You've been through hell and back. But it's more of a rhetorical question. And it's really a cautionary tale for other nations and folks in America. If you see, if we saw the UN army amass armies up there in New York or Canada, poised to strike Michigan or Wisconsin or New York, you better be buying all the ammo you can and arms. Same thing with the Ukrainians. I think people now realize that, yes, there are madmen in the world. They will pull the trigger. They will do things of this nature. You know, you got to realize that these things are real. This is not a movie that we're watching. Now, a lot of people are on the internet, and they're saying that, you don't get it, Von Weehunt. You just don't get it. This is a movie. All these people dying are all crisis actors, more cutard political fantasy stuff. And they also say that, you know, Putin's a hero for going in and decimating or trying to attack the bio labs in Ukraine, and he's going to end child trafficking, and he's going to set the world straight, put us all back on the gold standard. And I go, hooray, hooray. So your savior is Putin, and that's what you really believe. And so Saint Putin is going to save the world. No, this is nothing but a naked land and power grab. He said it himself many times. Nothing but Putin trying to restore the old Russian Empire of the Tsars and the old Soviet Union, the USSR. When I was a kid, they were called the USSR, United Soviet Socialist Republics, and the USSR with the red flag, the big menacing communist hammer and sickle on their red flag, which resembled the blood of the revolution of 1917. You know, Vladimir Putin is nothing but a KGB colonel who murdered his way to the top like a rat. He's the same kind of a guy like Lenin and Stalin who murdered their way to the top. And he has instilled fear in his people and lockdowns. And he basically plays this game of the, head of state trying to be, you know, cool. But he really is a pretty brutal dictator. I would say this, people have asked me a lot about Putin. Putin was a lot stronger before the invasion. He's a lot weaker now, a lot weaker. He's gone through thousands of men that are dead. He's got to tell out to the mothers of Russia and their sisters and fathers and brothers. A lot of them were draftees and 18 years old. They had a big life ahead of them, and they were killed in the no-win war in Ukraine. Now, Putin may eventually win in Ukraine, but like typical Soviet style, he has to push through millions and millions and millions of of rubles, of men, material, equipment, things of that nature. He has to push that through. Typical Soviet style, like in World War II, many people don't know this, but the political commissars, there weren't many rifles to go around with the serfs of Russia and the Red Satanic armies back then. And they were fighting on the feared Russian front. And when one guy died, the other guy would come up and grab his rifle and rush forward. If he ran back, the commissars had machine gun guys that would gun them down if they retreated. And that was in the movie Enemy at the Gate, and that's a fact. I love facts because I've always said truth is stranger than fiction. Also, many people don't know this. What Putin is fighting against, as I've told many people, are the offspring of the Waffen-SS in Ukraine. Ukraine had a Waffen-SS unit, the Galician unit, during the big, big war when they fought for the Third Reich. Many people don't know this. When the German panzers rolled through Ukraine, there are videos of the Ukrainian women throwing roses and flowers on German tanks saying, please go kick, you know, Stalin's ass, kill him, take over the Bolsheviks. They are murdering us. They're starving us. They're shooting it at us, etc. And the Germans were so emboldened by the Ukrainians, they actually formed a couple of units there. And so what Putin is fighting against when he says he wants to denazify Ukraine, there's a little bit of truth in that. He's fighting against the offspring of the Waffen-SS, their sons and daughters and grandkids now, that blood is still there, that Germanic Ukrainian blood, and he's fighting against them, and they don't want to be any part of Russia. They didn't in World War II. They still do not want to be part of Putin's cabal. They do not want to be a Soviet satellite state. They do not want to be under his wing. They do not want to be part of Russia at all. That's why I tell people, when you go into Ukraine, it's a lot different than going into Georgia or Crimea, or if he's thinking of taking over the Baltic states. I also predict that if Putin does win in Ukraine eventually, just by sheer attrition and numbers, and he'll go through a ton of equipment to achieve that, that he will then set his sights on other countries, most likely the Baltic nations. So if you're in Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia tonight, know you get our message. You should be arming up right now. It's coming your way. The storm is on your front. Coming your way very, very soon. Well, that's just a little history lesson. Many people don't know these things. I've always told you that this Ukrainian war has deep, deep roots in World War II. Whether people like it or not, World War II was barely a lifetime ago, about 75 years or so ago. Not even 100 years, folks. We think we're so digital. We live in this high-tech world now with the internet and smartphone, and we're immune from all these things. We're really not. You know, World War II is really not that long ago, and the ghosts of World War II are all over Europe. Well, whether you like or hate Ukraine, its people, or its government, you should never underestimate the resolve of people fighting for their home and land. Blood and soil, it's real. St. Putin will not save the world. I would say that all the people who think he's trying to destroy the New World Order, I'll say it's a hell of a way to destroy the New World Order by killing women and children and bombing maternity wards and hospitals in the Ukraine. It's a hell of a way to fight against that New World Order of Vlad. It's amazing what's going on. Now, while this is all going on, we must always protect our precious bodily fluids.
Incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual, certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works.
Mandrake, I suppose it never occurred to you And while we're chatting here so enjoyably, a decision is being made by the President and the Joint Chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew, son.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought. I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
God, I love that from Dr. Strangelove. Well, I told you during the monologue that when I emailed President Zelensky of Ukraine, I told him what the international brigade should get. They'll fight harder for him if they can have some land, a little money maybe, even if it's 5 or 10 acres, whatever. Give them a little land to plant some crops on or have a ranch or grow some, you know, crops or have some livestock or a little business. And I was watching the news. Now, I sent this email to him over the, Sunday night. And then a couple days ago, I'm watching Fox News, and a big banner ad came out. It said, new policy decision just issued by President Zelensky of Ukraine. It said he will offer foreign fighters of the International Brigade Ukrainian citizenship. I about spit out my coffee and fell out of my chair. That was my idea. He never offered that before. He never brought that up before. But I was saying that on my last show, he should offer them something. And citizenship makes the most sense, because if you offer the fighter something, they're going to fight a lot harder for you. Bottom line, people work on incentive. People like incentive. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Big show tonight. New callers get in first in line. 563-999-3437. I do anticipate a lot of phone calls, my friends. We try to be all things to all people, but we know that we can't. This week I had a block about 3 or 4 Q-tards for my Gab account, and I had to tell a few people that if you don't like what I type or post, you're free to go. You're free to go through the door. Don't hit your head on your way out. We love you all, but we can't cater or pander to the public. We will put it out there, any vetted or interesting news, no matter how you slice it or dice it. We are the tip of the spear. We're so glad you're here tonight. It's time to start the show.
Era's coming. Era's coming. What's hurt? Your heart, your loving heart. Era's coming and the cards say,
Wow, just love that. Very cool, very cool. We're so glad you're here tonight. Let's get to a new caller. This might be, I believe, Ghost from Arkansas. And then we'll get Paul the Gladiator on in that order. Welcome to the Von Wien Show. This is Ghost.
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Ghost. How you doing, man? How's it going out there in Arkansas?
I was getting a little bit on the chilly side, but everything's going good.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard, man. Good hearing your voice. So what's what are your thoughts tonight, my friend?
Oh, I was listening to the first part of your show there, and you were talking about the Bolshevik Revolution and the commissars and all that stuff. And the last time
yes.
I called, I talked to you about that book, and then I didn't even tell you what the title of it was, and then Lincoln helped me out there at the end of the show. But, yeah, I mean, it's a page right out of the Jewish playbook. I mean, they control all the central banks, all the politicians. Everything is basically disinformation coming from outlets that they own, you know. I mean,
now, tell the audience the name of that book again. Ghost, if you can tell the audience the name of that book again.
The name of that book was For My Legionaries, and the author's name was Cadriano Cordo. But what mm-hmm. really, before I even found that book, there's this documentary called Europa. And I'm new to the show, so I don't know if y'all have talked about it on here or not before. But,
I've seen it. It's a very good documentary.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's long. I mean, you got to want to learn something to dedicate watching a 10, 12-hour documentary. But, I mean, it will literally change your life. It'll change the way you look and see everything.
Well, information about World War II was hidden. I always tell folks, don't forget the victors write the history books. And there's pros and cons to a lot of things. But back then, they did not have social media, right? See, what's different about Ukraine in this situation is there's so many cell phones and video phones and iPhones that are out there. It's hard to do anything in Ukraine without a ton of cameras being on you from drones and elsewhere. So
yes,
Putin's having a hard time containing the information. You know, he's losing the information war. Now in World War II, they had no social media. It was by word of mouth and, you know, old style photographs and, you know, film was there, of course. They had video film, of course. But my point is, it was a lot easier to cover up your crimes in World War II or not to report things. And the Soviets were notorious for not reporting their crimes, not reporting their war crimes. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Ghost, you still there?
Can you
we got you again.
Every time they must be trying to silence me. Every time I call you, we get disconnected and I have to call back. But
it's happened before.
That's what the communists. Oh yeah, I mean that's what the communists do. I mean, during World War II, you know, the Jew that nobody ever wants to name, you know, they controlled all the media. So everything the rest of the world seen wasn't the truth about what was going on in Germany. You know. And after doing some of the research, you know, I've done, like, communism was basically created out of Marxism. You know, Karl Marx, he was born a Jew. What word am I looking for? He even lived in Little Rock, Arkansas at one point. I found that out.
Yeah, that's true. I heard about that.
But, yeah, I mean,
you've
got to realize that during World War II, we were literally fighting nationalists and taking the side and being allies with communists. And nowadays, if you're a white nationalist, you're literally labeled a terrorist. I mean, people have got to realize that we are in the same position we were 100 years ago. I mean, this stuff's been going on. When Cadriano started writing his book, it was like 1917.
Right.
So
1917 is when it all went down. That's when it went down, man, on a global scale.
Yes, sir.
Well, it is true, and the thing is I tell people, just to fast forward to Ukraine, and then we'll go back to World War II here in a second, that don't forget, people say, well, Zelensky of Ukraine is a Jew. Well, I go, look, he is, and don't forget that Putin was raised as a Jew, and Putin is supported by the Jewish oligarchs of Russia. And then Zelensky of Ukraine is supported by the Jewish oligarchs of that country. So those two cancel each other out as far as I am concerned. There's a lot of Jews and rabbis in that part of the world. That's kind of where the Khazarian started. And that's a whole rabbit hole we don't have time for tonight. But really? It is interesting. And, yeah, it's a tall tale. I will say this, that I always encourage people, do a lot of research of your own, especially at World War II, because that war was really never solved, and that's why we're having another war over there. So
yes,
it's amazing, Ghost. It really is.
Yeah, and I'll get something I want to say, and then I'll keep listening to you talk, and I'll forget where I was going to go with it. But
oh, take your time,
I mean,
man. Take your time.
There's not one world leader that, if that's what you even want to call them, you know, that isn't a Jew lover, and they push immigration into every white country, but you can't go to, you know, there's no immigration in Israel, period, none whatsoever. I mean, even to become a citizen, they got to do blood work on you and make sure you've got Jewish blood, And I did a little bit of research on statistics today. In 1970, and all my information is coming from census.gov, so you can't find a reliable source. If you try to get on there and do research now, whites aren't even listed as European whites. In with the whites category are Asian whites, African whites, Spanish whites. I mean, it's just insane. Like, if you're not a European white, you shouldn't be considered white. But I'll let you go in a second. But in 1970, there were roughly 203 million people in the United States. It said that 177 million were white, 3 million were African. We jump forward to the 2018 census, and white population has dropped by 60%. And it says Africans are 41 million from 23 million.
Yeah, you know, the demographics of this country, like I told you in the last show, it's a disaster. I mean, it's a total disaster. I don't want to make this a racial show, because we're an equal opportunity offender. And so we kind of zip around as a radio variety show. So nobody will ever accuse us of hovering over this group or that group, which is what they look for, Ghost. You know, we have a lot of nefarious people that are probably out there that listen to a lot of these radio shows, and they're looking for shows that just hover, you know, over this protected group or this group, this special group. So I offend everybody, you know, sooner or later of any group. That's how I've always kind of done it. But look, we want everybody here's how I look at that stuff. Here's the long and short of it. All these people are here in America. I want everybody in America sincerely to do well. Fortunately, our country got off the wrong track many, many moons ago, and we're stuck with them, right? We're stuck with a lot of people that, in my view, had no business immigrating over here to begin with. When they first came over, they were on a guest pass of, you know, we brought over the Chinese, for example. Let's talk about them. Work on the railroads, get paid, wear your Chinese hat, whatever, and go back to China. It wasn't to stay. It was to come and work. We paid them fairly and go back to China. A lot of groups were like that. The intention was for them to help build up America, because we needed so many laborers back then. Every job was labor intensive. We did not want everyone to stay. And that's where these are problems, what I'm trying to say, that preceded you and me and others. These were things that were going down 100 years ago. So that's what I'm saying, is that, unfortunately, that's why I say I just say we're stuck with everybody because, and really now, if the cat's out of the bag, it's such a demographic mess that you say anything anymore. You're right. They'll accuse you of being a domestic terrorist, or they'll say, you're a Nazi, right? You're this, you're that. And if two or three white guys are talking on the street corner, it's now a federal conspiracy. It's that silly.
Yeah, I mean,
the country's gone so far off its rocker. We have to get along with everybody at this juncture, but I tell people, move by your own people now and do it now before we have another pandemic or something. They restrict you moving from state to state. Now, they talked about that during COVID. They were saying if it got really bad, they were to restrict people's movements or travel. Say you wanted to move from Chicago to Arkansas, where you're at. And they wanted a law where you couldn't do it. And Democrats were thinking along those lines, folks. So I tell people, get in position now. Don't wait until the war comes, like Ukraine. Don't be a Ukrainian in the sense of they're very great people. I love the Ukrainian people, but a lot of them weren't armed. A lot of them thought the Russians would never invade. Don't wait till the Soviet tanks go through your street until you do something. I'm all about action. Action, action, action. Talk is cheap, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I hear you, Ghost. I hear you, man. I tell folks, get in position now. Don't wait. What are your final thoughts to America, Ghost?
Well, people just got to realize that there's really no difference in between the Democrats and the Republicans. I mean, being a nationalist, you have respect for a Chinese person that lives in their country and takes pride in their country, or a Spanish person that lives in their country and you know, has honor and pride in their country and their people. But today, racism is pushed so hard on white folks that you can't even say you're proud to be white, and it's literally labeled hate speech, you know, on the ADL.
Yeah. How dare you say it's proud of your wife? Dare you? Exactly. That's their attitude. How dare you even think it, let alone say it? And you're right, Ghost. All the white countries in the world are supposed to take in immigrants because their narrative is white European people are evil. They were the conquerors. We conquered the world, right? And now we have to give it all back because we conquered it, they say, unfairly. We were too good in battle. I always said the white man's very good at war. Very good. So we have a long fuse. But when it's lit, boy, you better duck and cover. You better watch. I mean, look at Ukraine. The white people know how to fight. And the thing is they don't like that. The other groups of the world, they don't like the fact that we were the conquerors. They don't like the fact that we conquered much of the known world. It's resentment, it's envy, a little bit of jealousy all mixed into one. And how dare you even want your own country? How dare you? We have to go repopulate you and have white genocide and get rid of you and bring in all the third world to water you down. So you'll never rise again. And that's their agenda. They don't want you to be in control. They want you to be living next to ghetto thugs who want to kill you. They love that. They want you impoverished. Now, I've told folks before, if you're dead or in jail, you're of no use to anybody. Think about it. They want to get you in trouble legally and all kinds of things. So there's a big agenda against the European whites, and they have decided that these people are fighters. They talk back, right? And they don't like that. Well, Ghost, thanks a lot, man. I think you lost Ghost there in Arkansas. His phone's fading out again. Let's get to Paul the Gladiator and his North Valley compound about Ukraine and the International Brigade. Gladiator, how are you doing tonight?
Good, man. What's going on?
How are you? Oh, always a big show on Thursday night. Always a big show.
I know, man. So getting back to your monologue, everything that you and I were talking about, this just so everybody knows, that offer's made. You're gonna have a couple people you hear on the radio going over to Ukraine to go fight, get dual citizenship, get some land, and help build back a country, because that would be a country that the militia and the citizenship would be in charge of, rather than here, where it seems like all the Republicrats are letting the Democrats roll right over them, bring in socialism. Just like your caller here from Arkansas mentioned, you know, it's black and brown and everything but white. They want to kill the population of the white people here. And in Ukraine,
sure,
it's a white population, and it's a right-wing thinking population. That's the citizenship. Protect our land, nationalism. That's why they're fighting so well right now, right?
That's right. Yeah, and see, what's so funny about our media, Paul, which you and I have talked about, and we talk about that with other people too. I know, my God, my phone and email has been blown up lately. Our media is tripping over themselves, foaming at the mouth, going, it's so wonderful the Ukrainian people have such nationalism, such fervor for their land and their soil and their country and their people and their culture. And they have all these shows. Anderson Cooper's over. Aaron Burnett of CNN. You've got Fox News. People are just raving about this. It's great that they have Kalashnikovs in every house. And everyone's got clips of ammo ready to go. Man, they just love the guns and the culture. But they don't want that for us over here, folks. They don't want you to be armed in America. They don't want nationalism in America. But it's okay to talk about it over in Ukraine. Why? Because Ukraine's the current political football of NATO and America. It's a proxy war, basically being like waged. But I find if you just change the countries, if they were over here domestically, they would never talk like that about nationalism in America, ever.
Right.
Or even America First, or even MAGA. They demonize it over here, you know?
Yep. Even think about the fact that under the Democrats – energy has gone up in price in 1 year, 25% energy cost in 1 year. Gasoline up 38% in 1 year. Inflation for food is up 8% in 1 year. Rent is up 20% in 1 year. Total 40-year highs on everything. I'd rather go fight in Ukraine. If I'm going to pay high cost anyways, I'll fight in Ukraine. We'll be heroes over there, and then we'll have as much land as we can gather. We'll pay the taxes on it, and we'll build the country the way we want it built. And we'll help those who are fighting with blood for their country. I'd rather stand by those people than stand by these Democrats in these neighborhoods that are destroying our country. Bottom line.
And I agree, man. And
You know I'm a numbers guy. Those are true numbers of what's just happened in the last year.
Right. It's amazing. I got the numbers for you, Paul, that came out today. And for our radio audience out there, the Ukrainian freedom fighters who are fighting for their country, they are nationalists. Let's just, you know, that's really code for nationalism in Ukraine. Whenever you hear the media say, the Ukrainian freedom fighters, yeah, that's, just call them Ukrainian nationalists. They have decimated and destroyed 335 Russian Soviet tanks, 1,100 armored personnel carriers, already five or six Russian jets from the Putin Air Force, and up to 12,000 Russian soldiers have died. And there's hundreds of artillery pieces have been destroyed, blown up. I mean, they're doing the hit and run stuff that I was hoping that they would do when you're up against the, you know, this is their version of the British Redcoats coming in, marching in with the fife and drum right down the main street, you know? They're marching. Yeah. And that, when that convoy was out of gas installed, I kept telling them, go up there and attack that thing. Attack constantly. Don't let it just sit there. Go up there and attack it, which some of them did, but it should have been more. But as you know, guys, if this ever happens in America, which I hope it never does, me and Paul, we talked about this. If you ever see an armored column attacking your neighborhood, I mean, you hit the first tank and you hit the last tank. And the,
right.
and the ones in the middle, you pick off slow but sure. And you hit them
right.
all. Burn them all out.
Hey, so I saw a video, an interesting video. So, you know, the whole premise initially was that Putin was going to liberate the two provinces in Ukraine that were pro-Russia, right? And that's
yes.
why he originally put his forces at the border where those two little provinces were on the Russian border. Well, they had a video of all the people in those provinces. We're talking school teachers, electricians, right? Gas maintenance men on the gas pipeline. They were told when they were invaded, they have them on video. I saw it. My friend downloaded them to me. You can find them on YouTube. They were told they're going to do military exercises for 2 weeks with the Russian military. And then those after the 2 weeks of military training, they're going to go back to their jobs. Well, the reason why these people are giving up to the Ukrainian soldiers are they marched those people into Ukraine ahead of the army. Those people were told they were doing military actions, training for 2 weeks, and then back to their jobs in those two provinces. They pushed them right to the front and said, go get those Ukrainians who are invading. We're talking...
Go get them, boys! Yep.
Yeah, unbelievable. No wonder they were giving up. There's videos, you know, all the videos of them giving up and getting a hot
yeah.
cup of tea and giving the rifle over because they're not soldiers. They're school teachers and garbage men. And
right.
Putin's army is so weak, he had to steal those people out of there. He stole them.
I believe it. In fact, the CIA has intercepted their communications, Paul. And a lot of those guys that were rolling in the armored personnel carriers were on Tinder or social media talking to their girlfriends back in Moscow. They had no clue they were going into a war zone. Had no clue
right.
that they were the invasion party.
That's right.
They just said, go in there, guys. And they were thinking that, well, when they get shot at, they'll figure it out. Man, what
right.
an effed up military operation.
Yeah.
This will be studied in military war colleges for the next millennia. This is
yeah.
this will be studied and dissected and analyzed for all eternity of how not
right.
to invade a country.
yeah.
So
when
bad.
When we were talking about the citizenship and the land,
yes.
and then, you know, it's amazing how some Twitter messages from a conversation here in the United States, and, you know, you and I, we talked dead serious. We were serious. That's the way you build an
yeah.
army nowadays. You don't have one, and you're fighting with blood, and your former Ukrainian residents who are still Ukrainian citizens are flying back. Freedom fighters will fly next to them on a plane and land in Poland, and they'll go fight, but you got to give them some land to fight for. You got to give them
right.
a piece of the action, a piece of the pie, so that those freedom
yeah.
fighters will go. Now, here's what I would suggest, because you and I talked about this. If there's any listeners tonight or tomorrow night, you know, if they listen to the tapes, if you have $1,000 a man to fly into Poland, then have about $3,000 to $4,000 to arm yourself with the best armament and weaponry that you can. Because if you go to the Polish line, Poland and Ukraine, and you tell them, you show them your ID and say, I'm going to fight that war, they'll let you cross over into Ukraine. And then not only will you have a weapon walking in to protect yourself, but then the Ukrainian army will give you all the AK-47s they just got from the Russian soldiers. And I saw a video today where they impacted about 20 tanks, and they actually, the tanks that were drivable, the Ukrainian soldiers drove those away and left the other ones burning. So, you know, it's gonna, there's gonna be an offer of more than citizenship, because it was what, Wednesday morning you saw that on Fox News that the Ukrainian president all of a sudden is offering citizenship, and that was basically because of your pounding that message in to them, like, offer your citizenship, damn it. And now they didn't,
I said,
they
dude, do you want to win this thing or do you want to die over there in Kiev? Are you serious? Do you want to win? I said,
right.
If you do, I didn't really scold him, but I was like, I was pretty adamant. Like, you got 16,000 in it. That's great. But, dude, that's a drop in the bucket. You got a massive land territory to maintain. You need hundreds of thousands of troops. Hundreds.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, 16,000 in your little Ukrainian army ain't going to do it. No wonder you're surrounded. I mean,
right.
I'm being honest here. So
if they,
yeah,
he's got to up the ante, right? He's got to up the ante and say, okay, look, beyond the citizenship, because, you know, what we put together, I thought we formulated a great offer. Citizenship, 20 acres of land, but out at the border of Poland, Belarus, Russia, Crimea, all along the border, will be your freedom fighters out there, will be your militia. Remember, the citizen militia of the United States was the Revolutionary Army and took down the most powerful army, navy on the planet. So, you know, militia that want to fight, you got to give them a piece of the action, right? Every American militia had land. They had a homestead here in the United States. They fought for it. You give that militia citizenship, dual citizenship in this world is very valuable. And American citizenship and a European citizenship, that's super valuable. And then you give them a piece of the land, and then you allow them to populate your country. You don't have to have polygamy. You can have three or four girlfriends, but that country is going to have to be repopulated by freedom fighters and the family that live with them. And then
And I mean, it's kind of a catch-all. Like, in other words, you need to, when you get back to your country, I don't want some court in Kiev going, we can't have these soldiers having, you know, two or three wives or girlfriends. So I don't want them. Look, I would tell Zelensky, your population has been decimated by war. We need a baby boom in Ukraine, if you get my hint. Every fighter can have as many women as they can comfortably afford. I'm sorry. Move them on that 25 acres or 10 acres, whatever he gets. And rock and roll, baby, because you're going to need a new warrior class. You know what I mean? Because don't think that some Soviet Russian dictator won't try this again. And you want a built-in militia on that border with mighty Russia. So if it ever happens again, you know, you got four or five sons. Everyone grabs their AK-47, go to town on that Russian army again. You need them on that border ready, because that way, I would tell Zelensky, you've got the buffer zone. You've got room to breathe now. Because before,
right,
you were sort of defenseless up there on that border. And he, you know, comedian turned president, should have been more proactive himself, to be honest.
Yeah.
He should have been bringing in arms. Don't ask everyone to give you free stuff. You're a rich country. You should have been buying it by the boatload.
Right.
You know,
yep.
And you of all people knew Zelensky. So, you know, I support the guy in that sense, but he could have done a better job. Now, he's new at the job. I get it. But look, when it comes to war, man, it's all about preparation. You know, you need arms and ammo. He waited till he was invaded, Paul. And then he said, I don't need a ride. I need arms and ammunition. Well, I'm like, duh. You should have been doing that almost a year ago when they were amassing at your border. And you're the president, and you know. Unbelievable.
Yep, as soon as he got
crazy
into office, he was doing that. You know, it's crazy. Don't wait. Just go get it. But now,
he's got to buy it. Right.
He's got an opportunity to actually get everything he wants by making the offer. Don't skimp out on the offer. And they'll flood in from all over the world, and I'll tell you, I'll be one of them. We'll go and re-liberate that country, and then we'll build it from the ground up. Because, you know, with those inflation numbers and costs rising, I mean, people are getting thrown out of their own domiciles because of these raises in rents. And then gas, 38% in 1 year. Can you imagine what it's going to be? This is his first year. What's it going to be after his fourth year? I mean, it's going to be insane, right? I'd rather pay $9 for a gallon of gas in Ukraine, helping them liberate it, be a hero of that country, and help build it with nationalism, than sit here and pay $9 a gallon in the United States that's turning into this wing-left, liberal, woke country, and everybody's excommunicated out of the country if you say anything they don't like. Screw them.
Right.
Forget them. You know?
Sabotage,
kill each other, sabotage each other. I don't care anymore. I'll get out. I'll just get out. Let's go help a real country when they're killing kids, women and children. They're bombing birthing hospitals. I mean, what sick fucks out there in Russia? They need to get pushed back. This is beyond ludicrous. It's insane.
Oh, I know. It's the Russian way. They'll just keep. They want to invoke terror and psychological trauma on the people. Putin is purposely trying. He started the brother war in Russia. I tell people on Gab all the time, he's not Saint Putin. All these cutards think he's the savior of the world. He's not going over into Ukraine for lofty goals, people. There are no altruistic purposes. Putin is not a big statesman like some of you will like to paint him as. But they go, oh, you'll wait, you'll see. So let me get this straight, Sherlock. Killing women and children, pets and livestock, and blowing up apartment buildings and hospitals is how he's going to defeat the new world order. Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
And what are you smoking again? What kind of pills are you taking? Get back on your meds and don't call my show. You know, but no, you're right. I mean, he's a beast. He's got his seat ready in hell next to Stalin and Lenin. But look, all that money that Zelensky should have been buying up arms with, problem is he was bribing people and spending that money and giving it to politicians like Hunter Biden, the Biden crime family, the Obamas probably, all the sons of the prominent politicians of America. You got Mitt Romney's son over there, Nancy Pelosi's son over there, Biden's son. They're all sucking off that Ukrainian tit, getting cash.
Right.
So, you know, that guy, look, I'd say, you want to be president of a country? Well, start being president. In other words, start preparing. You know, you wait to the last minute till you're invaded to chastise him a little bit. And now you want all this free stuff from around the world. I need arms. I need tanks. I need planes. I need this. I need that. Dude, you're lucky your people, like me over there, had AK-47s ready to go. If it wasn't for that, I'm not quite sure what in the hell they would have done. I mean, Kiev by now would have been overrun. It's the Patriots in Ukraine. They were armed. They immediately knew what the problem was. They knew they were being invaded. And they, like the Minutemen of America in 1776, they rose to the occasion, you know?
That's right. Yeah, because they're fighting for their homeland, their country. And that inspired the former residents there who are Ukrainian citizens, men, to fly there. And now he can really inspire every freedom fighter on the planet to show up. Basically, what we had put together and what you had sent to him multiple times, kick-started this thing. He needs to up the ante. And then now there's something for us to go and liberate and fight for. And, you know, he'll never be president again. I'd like to have the mayor of Kiev, the former heavyweight champion of the world, who was born in Moscow, Russia, went to Kiev, Ukraine, became the mayor of Ukraine, let him be the president of the company rather than this jokester former comedian who has no idea what he's doing.
Right.
That's what I think.
I mean, yeah. I I give the guy credit. Like a good actor, he is acting very presidential. He's sticking to his thing now, but I'm saying he's a good actor. But my point is, your preparation, I give you an F or a D minus, because you should have been preparing back in April, back last, you know, spring, summer, bringing in millions of arms, millions of bullets, grenades, rocket launchers, you know, and you were doing a little bit of that, but not near enough, man, not near enough. So
not near enough.
It is what it is. And now the world's got to deal with this thing. And we talked about brother wars before in Europe, and people who think that Putin is their savior, I said, well, he pulled the trigger. He's killing white people over in Europe. So I don't – if you know anything about Putin as I do, you know he's just nothing but an old KGB colonel who murdered his way to the top. He has no lofty goals for Ukraine. It's a joke that people even think that. He's not going to, you know, destroy the biolabs. And you know, he's doing everything he can to genocide the Ukrainian people because he wants them, yes, he wants them to go to Poland. He wants them to leave. Already 2.6 million have left. He wants to bring in Russians and only Russians to repopulate Ukraine. He never wants Ukrainians to come back, ever. So that's what I will say. If you don't win this, the Ukrainian people will be a country without a country in Poland and Germany and elsewhere. What are your final thoughts, Paul?
Yeah, exactly. You know, think about it, folks. I mean, this is where the national stage right now is watching between the Ukrainian people, the good, the Russian dictator, the evil, and anybody willing to follow that evil or support the good. I mean, it was a great offer from Poland to send them the Russian MiG jets, but then they said, here, U.S., United States, you send them to them. We're going to give them to you. You give them to Ukraine so that he can declare war on you. So luckily, idiot Joe, you know, Brandon, right? Let's go, Brandon. Idiot Joe and now Kamala Harris, Camel Toe Harris, you know, as the gunslinger likes to call her. She now is in Europe speaking on behalf of the United States. She came out of her basement that she's been in for a year, and now they're going to prop her up and say, look how presidential she is. She's going to run for office in 2024. No shit. Joe Biden's going to be 90 by then. He can't run for a second term. But she's not looking presidential. She hesitates every word. And she's reading off of a script very slowly, like she does not know what to say. And it's like, what? This is our country? This is the United States of America right now. You know what? You know me, man. I already told you. We will fly to Poland, man. I will cover the cost. We'll go over there, we'll walk over the border prepped and prepared, and you know what? Anybody else that has the guts to do it, and it's dangerous, we get that. But you know I'm in great physical shape. I will protect whoever goes with us. You know, that'll be the priority, but we will liberate people. We will not let women and children get bombed and murdered. That is beyond acceptable. And guess what, Zelensky? You're giving us everything we ask for. You're going to give us everything we want to do this for you. I have my Rolodex. It's long. I have former Army Ranger double Purple Heart decorated in my phone. That'll be the level of people that go. We'll have our own troop, and we'll have protection. That was a business partner of mine for many years, a very good friend. I already reached out. He's willing to do it with us. And he, literally, the U.S. government, they couldn't even keep count on what he used to do. They dropped him everywhere, all around the globe. So when you have six Rangers and six Bombers and six SEALs, you have 18 men that go in. That is the elite of the elite sitting in the Pentagon waiting to go. That's the level of people that's networked in. You know, we're not 20-year-old men. You know, we're 50-year-old men who've been around a bit. So, you know, if you're inspired, I'm going to tell you, he's going to up the ante because we're pushing that message to up the ante. You want to win, up the ante, we'll come in and win. But we're not doing it for just the citizenship. We put a lot more on that offer than he was willing to give up initially. Get together with all your lawyers and get this thing right. And that will save Ukraine, and that'll save Europe, and that'll save, believe it or not, the United States of America in the end. Because these clowns in D.C., they'll hand over the United States right to Putin. They won't give a
That's
shit.
Right.
They won't serve their own.
Paul, thank you, man. Awesome, awesome call, brother. You're damn right.
Yeah.
Folks, you better boot up and suit up. Ukraine could come to America one of these days. Paul, thanks a lot for the call, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, man.
We might be on the Ukrainian front one of these days. You never know. Come back to America, be battle ready, even more so. Well, we're going to get to our illustrious Irish pirate next, our tech wizard, after this short announcement.
Some people want to take your head off for pulling in front of them on a freeway. There are some who don't want you to eat anything but your vegetables. Some want to save the whales. Some want to assault people. Some want to burn things down. And others still want to watch the world set on fire. Well, it could be said of many of these people that they have a one-track mind, but it's always on the wrong track. Well, time to get your mind right. It's the Von Wehunt Show. That's right. Playing on the airwaves. Tune in to Von Wehunt and get your mind on the right track.
Damn right. And your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to be a strong nationalist in the wake of all the turmoil in the world today.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to sit down and listen to the Von Wehunt Show each Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That Enigma code, again, is blogtalkradio.com, where geopolitics, current events, breaking news, history, and brilliant conjecture and callers will always be a part of the show. So don't be left outside in the cold. This is your secret agent invitation for what awaits you. So come into the radio octagon and castle on the Rhine, where eagles dare. The Von Wehunt Show. Your mission is to be there to make a better you, to make a stronger neighborhood, and to make America great again. This message will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
They call a mission impossible, but I call it the Von Wehunt Show. It's here alive and well. And with that, let's get to the Irish pirate from his tech wizardry, his Harry Potter castle somewhere in Ukraine or the United Kingdom. So I'm not quite sure where you're at, but you're somewhere out there in a galaxy far, far away. What do you have in store for us tonight? And by the way, I want to thank you for the wonderful fun pack that I received this afternoon. Kudos to you, sir.
Yeah, you've been playing off of that tonight like I was recommending, and I appreciate that.
That's
what makes it fun. I mean, you turn it over immediately. It's almost like you just took my word for what I told you was the best part of it. So
I spend it quickly.
Well, I'll admit, I'm not a big fan of movies. My degree's in radio, TV, and film. It's hard for me. So many ladies have said, hey, let's go watch a movie together, and I end up going and not want to do anything like that. But when I do what I do for you, I'm capable of taking these audio tracks and, number one, tightening them up so the dialogue actually has some speed to it for an intellectual audience. And then, number two, sometimes there's some issues that might need a little cleaning up. And I've been able to do that and still make it so that I would think it would be capable of being enjoyed by just about any audience. I like that aspect of it. That's one of the fun things about doing work, because you do challenge me that way. And then lastly, there's always, as you noticed, we knew we suddenly wanted to get into these things, the Doctor Strangelove things. And
yes.
For example, the part of the fun for me was that there are three different audio tracks off of Dr. Strangelove. Each one was a different movie star that was delivering the main goods, and then each and every one of them was backed up by Peter Sellers.
Yes, you noticed that.
Played every single
Can I select it or not? Right.
Background.
I
so
knew you would notice
kind of
that. Right.
It doesn't take long to figure that out. Because you're trying to figure out the best way to be able to use the material for what it was destined for, especially when you, for example, we're talking about someone who's, George C. Scott is famous for playing Patton, but so that's why they grabbed him for the comedy movie. They needed someone who sounded like a frontline conservative and say, look, if you don't hit them, they're going to hit you, so you might as well make sure they can't hit you very hard. And that is a very relevant term, and I don't mean going over to Russia to keep them from coming here, because that's not what that's about. But then the other part of that is the other thing that we talked about on text before tonight, and that was you asked me if I would go online and actually get a hold of some more of Vladimir Putin's handwriting and be able to answer some things about him.
Yes, we want to analyze Putin's handwriting, and I want you to go over mine as well. The floor is yours,
okay,
sir.
Okay, so we'll do some background here. Number one, I got into doing handwriting when I was in high school. A girl had actually put some stuff in that, I was wondering if it was real or not. It was saying something effective. I hope that the homecoming king and queen are us or something like that. It was cute and nice and everything. And I didn't know if I should trust it or not. I mean, the same old things that are happening in a Wyoming high school are the same ones that happen everywhere else. So the bottom line is I grabbed a hold of a handwriting book. I thought it would tell me who the person was, that type of thing. And the sad part is it told me exactly who they were, that this person, the hard part is even if you confronted them with the truth, they would lie. So you're never going to know the answer to your question by talking to this person. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find some other way around it. And some people are really good at lying so well that they even deceive themselves. And we'll get back to that in a moment. Okay, from that and the fact that I've actually had to back my own life up for childhood, one day a woman wrote a letter to my mom and said, I'm the natural mom, and I want to meet, I want to meet my kids. And my mom's thinking, got to be an imposter. So she trusted my handwriting skills. She actually said, I want you to do it. And, you're old enough. I was in my 20s at the time. She said, you're old enough. You just tell me what you see. And I came back. I said, I don't see any reason that she isn't what she claims. I did it backwards. There's no way to tell the truth in handwriting like they always do in the mockery of films and stuff like that. We talked about once Charles Lindbergh's son got kidnapped, and they literally roped some guy saying, you know about handwriting. Is this the handwriting of a kidnapper and murderer? And if he didn't say yes, he was never going to get that job again. And probably neither would the guy.
Right.
And so that's not how you use professional skills. That is just not what this is about. Science is science. It's demonstrable. It's testable. We've brought that up a few times on this show. So now we get to where what happened is I said, Von Weehunt, we should meet. Because, we deal with a number of interesting topics. I'm not sure exactly who you are. We both listened to KFNX. That's what was going on. And you said, you buy my book, I'll sign it. So I went out and I bought that book. That was kind of a no-brainer. So I got to figure out who this guy is. He's got it in writing. Let's get that moving on. So then we met, and now we've met two other times since. And the important thing is that I did my tradecraft on you. And the number one thing that surprised me was that you put yourself behind your audience. Most talk show audience hosts do not do that. And you've made mockery out of so many of the so-called right-wingers that do all the talking, give somebody maybe 50 seconds to basically agree with them is about as far as you can get.
Right.
And then
if they're lucky.
And that's supposed to be a talk show. Well, only one guy is talking and only one guy is agreeing. And I don't know about you, but when I can hear somebody that's got a box of rocks in their head nodding their head, there should be a little shake of the rocks
bouncing
around in their brain. And so this is a different format than that. It's always been an open forum. There hasn't been that much debate, which makes me a little sad. I would love to be the debater on whatever is out there that I would take a strong position for or against. But I have said that I would love to be, for example, the Bible answer guy, and, you know, to look at it from the spiritual point of view, which now brings us around to I actually went out and got a couple more samples of Putin's handwriting because what I saw was pretty small, but it told me a lot anyway. And so with a little bit of extra stuff, I could tell you, for example, that one of the things that they keep saying is that he's a madman, that he is only interested in certain things. And I'll be honest, this guy is so interested in what he's interested in, he'd be willing to lie to himself to get it done. So, unfortunately, calling him a madman is the dumbest thing you could do. You don't know the man if you're calling him that. He's definitely dedicated to what he's dedicated to. He's got very, very heavy pressure on the pen and a very, very heavy forward slant, which is normally what you'd find in a teacher or a preacher, quite frankly.
Right.
And I should know because that describes myself as well. He also is willing to think very deeply on a subject, but only after he is very self-aware that there might be a mistake made or that it's going to make him look bad. He'll think really hard when when it comes back to reflect on how his peers would think about him, whoever that is. I have no idea what he thinks are his peers. But the important thing there is that means he's going to follow a principle, and he's going to try to be level-headed and stubborn about it at first. And then when it starts to make him look bad, he might get a little weird, but it'll be thinking and perspective. He'll pull out for that. And then if he gets the big score, he dances on your grave. There's going to be some screaming carrying on. That's where the emotion's going to show. He feeds on the emotion of having things go his way. So he likes to get on a hot streak. So for people to say that this guy is just walking into a terrible trap, and he was a complete nincompoop, when his handwriting shows that this guy's extremely conservative with that kind of thought, and in fact is sensitive that people might criticize him for methods of doing it, what he thinks is the right thing. And I find that fascinating because it can't be both ways. I say everything you've ever heard from mainstream media is 100% backwards about Putin. I mean, yeah, do I trust the guy? No. I'm not even sure he trusts himself, but I will say this. This is the guy that in his country threw out McDonald's. He threw out Coca-Cola and Pepsi. He threw out Pornhub. He threw out a lot of things that he thought would make
him lose. Oh, my God. He threw out Pornhub?
Yeah,
Putin, you bastard. Just kidding.
Anyway.
Damn him to hell.
He is literally making it so that nobody has leverage over his country, that it's just him. Now, whether that's good or bad, I don't know.
Putin wants leverage over mighty Russia. We want that leverage, Irish pirate, and we're going to get it.
Well, we want the same leverage here, and we don't get it, probably because we are going to McDonald's, buying Coke and Pepsi, and, God forbid, visiting Pornhub. But that's not my thing. I haven't done any of those things in quite a while. I actually drink the Stevia soda for some of those products.
Irish, you just described the typical American. Goes to McDonald's, drinks Coca-Cola and Pepsi, and watches Pornhub. That's the typical American today. Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, well,
quarter pounder and cheese, please.
Putin. No wonder you're against Putin. So
exactly.
All I'm saying is, and of course you do know that I used to be in the Navy, cryptologic research and development, top secret plus, my probably number one, when I was on the gridiron, my number one battles usually were with Russia. I can admit that. That's because of where I was, you know, not specifically by the science of what we were doing, but just happened to be where I was stationed.
Do you have any more tidbits of information on Putin's samples of his handwriting or mine to tell the audience? Interesting stuff.
Okay. For the Von Wehunt, like I said, you get behind your audience. You want the audience to be the reason people listen to the show and not yourself. And I didn't expect to see that when I looked at your handwriting. I expected, like all talk show hosts, that there be some – it doesn't mean you're not gregarious and have a high level of what you want, you know, the setting the bar high and trying to hit it. I get that. But like I said, that was the big surprise there. The surprise you're going to get out of Putin is he wants a 100% guaranteed best play, I think is the way we're going to do that. And so I hate to say this, but if this guy actually is attacking Ukraine the way he is, because we talked about that last week, he's using reconstituted weapons, not his best tanks, not his best generals, the youngest of his infantry. He's deliberately trying to soft hand Ukraine. He doesn't want to hurt Ukraine, quite frankly. He's had to kill some people to make a statement, and that's true. And I do believe one of the videos I saw was faked, now that I've looked differently. So it's really hard to tell exactly what's going on. But I will say this. The Putin that I'm seeing, the one that says – and it's kind of funny because he thinks he's acting like a Christian. And yes, in the Bible, there are some great leaders who were told, you're going to fight these people. But there are other people, they said, don't fight these people. Right? God, you know, God answered to different people differently. So it's still questionable whether or not Putin actually sought God before he made his move. But one thing's for sure, he's definitely trying to make NATO look stupid. And I think he's succeeding. I think he's winning incredibly well, trying to make Zelensky look kind of dumb. I mean, everything that he doesn't like about where Russia was going, Zelensky is that model. You know, the guy that would dress up in tights, get into a movie and play a piano with his penis. Come on. I mean, how far do you have to make a statement, Mr. Zelensky? Well, you're not going to see Putin do that. He's going to be behind the
wall. No, thank God. Thank God.
Well, even if Zelensky said, I will do what I can to save every Russian that I can. That's his... He's claiming that as an honor.
Right.
I don't know if he's going to do it or not, but boy, I want to hear my leaders do that rather than do the Joe Biden and leave 9,000 people in Afghanistan and all the expensive stuff the taxes were paying for. I mean, this guy couldn't care less about what happens to America or its people. At least Putin's pretending. So I got to give him credit. And if it's an act,
right?
I'll say this: between he and Zelensky, I'm buying. I'm not for Russia, and I agree that the people there have to put up with a lot of things, but it really seems like Putin, with his megalomania and whatever else might be going on, he actually thinks he can hold on to that and do something good for them. And I would believe that he's got himself fooled into believing he could do that, even if it's not real. And so, therefore, it sure makes him – I think it makes him a better leader than Zelensky, just simply because, number one, he has experience, I guess. But number two – it's heartfelt. It's really real that he wants to be in charge, and if he could do it without shedding a drop of blood, he would. And he did the best he could to make people realize that, you know, this is what we're doing. And what we're seeing is the breakdown is primarily the other way.
Irish, let me interject here for a second. Yeah, you are correct there. My point is that Putin is making his mark now. Everyone knows he's serious now about Ukraine, if they weren't before. Note to the world, write yourself a sticky note. Putin is serious about Ukraine. You're right about that. Now, getting back to my show for a moment, to explain to people, I am the front man for the show. I lead from the front. However, being the front man, I want to hear from real America. That's why on most shows they'll say, "Thank you for calling the KXXX. We're so glad you called. What do you think, Bob? Hey, that's a great. Thanks a lot, Bob. You're off the air. Thanks." And then the guy talks for 3 more hours, right? That's literally how it goes. And they go, "Oh, we have a caller. Okay, the guy will be say. There's one guy I will not say his name, but he says I'll get to a call about 2 hours later." Of him ranting.
Yeah.
He gets to the call. And the guy goes, "Hey, I'm from Ohio. I thought your last statement was about it was really good and strong. Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it." You know, go to my podcast, go to my website, buy whatever, buy my t-shirt. On my show, I want to hear not so much, I love it when people agree with the show, but I also like differing points of view. I have no problem with that. I'm strong. I don't have a thin skin. So I want to hear from the American people. This show was designed to be a beacon of light in the, well, behind the Iron Curtain of Rhino Talk Radio, to use, you know, the Soviet style symbolism there. We were the beacon of light at the Berlin Wall, letting people know you can call our show and actually get real airtime, not just 30 seconds or 20 seconds of an accolade and you're off the line. Because most Rhino Talk Show hosts, they have these 3-4 hour shows, Irish, and they talk nonstop, or them and a female sidekick, and that's it. The whole show. It's an opinion show. And after they say their opinion on things about 20 million times, I get bored. I go, I want to hear from real America. And that's why I designed the Von Wien Show. Go on, sir.
I was going to say there, the only thing more boring than those talk show hosts are their female sidekicks. I mean, they bring in people that are even duller than they are, so they look colorfully good. So as a Christian scientist, as an extremely rational individual, where people sometimes think I can be a human computer at times, that's just not true. Like I said, my handwriting matches Putin's in that I live off the emotion of doing the right thing for the right reason, because it's now, and so I'm always riding a wave, and very similar with your handwriting, my audience matters to me. But what this does for my life and what I think it does for the show is I live in a state of constant improvement. I didn't say it was fast. I didn't say it was perfect. But you can always take the things that don't belong in the situation that you're now in. When the world changes on you, you don't have to sit there and freak out over it changing. You can just say, I'm better now. I've seen what's going on. I deal with the truth. I'd rather deal with something demonstrable and real. And when I see that there's an opportunity to change for the better, I'll make that change. And boy, I would love to see that happen in any country at this point. And ironically, one of the few people that are out there trying to do it is Putin. But the first thing he has to do in order to get his, he needs to disconnect from the rest of the world, because he's being snuck up on in many ways. And I'll admit, I mean, he'd have a hard time actually fighting anybody militarily, in my opinion, if they had the kind of skills that I had when I was going against Russia in those days, which was not him, it was Gorbachev. But anyway, yeah, so he's got to be able to fake what he's doing well enough for people to think they're getting over on him, so he can see what they really want. Because he's not certain. He doesn't know what he can improve at this point. He certainly can't improve his military. Right. He certainly can't improve his position. I think he's trapped in a corner. And so I think what he's trying to do is maybe even get his enemies to fight amongst themselves. That's an entirely interesting possibility. If he makes
we'll talk about that
like
next
one way or another. Yeah, that might be the best way to play it. On the chessboard, I'm a favorite of gambits, which means you're going to give something away to get something later. And that's exactly what I see him doing right now. He's offering up a little tidbit to see if somebody's going to take his bait, because he's made it look like he's taken theirs. But that's a counter gambit all day, every day. And on the chessboard, I hate to say this, there's no such thing as a working counter gambit. Once you've done counter gambit, you're in charge. And you live or die with your decision. And so that I have to give him credit for. I think he played the counter. He's run the counter. And, he offered up something. And we'll have to see whether or not he gets away with it. But one thing's for sure, I can't stand for the Russian military, because that's not my thing. And what Zelensky is doing, I wish they would just kick out everything that's bad that was brought in when Soros overthrew the regime. That's when you bring something going for it. Was before.
Irish, we'll talk again next week, sir. Hold those thoughts for next week. We got to run. Get us some more callers here. I thank you, sir, for a great call tonight, as usual, and that awesome fun pack for the show. Irish Barn, folks.
You're not even done playing it yet.
I'm not. Excellent. I'm going to get to it here in a second. I guarantee it, buddy. Thank you, Irish Pirate folks. We will, I think we're going to get to Breath the Surfer here. We're going to hit the Gunslinger and Lincoln. And but before we get to that, there's also a request made by me by our great fan of the show, the Scottish Guard. But before all that, if you're in the war room of the Pentagon, you know they're talking about nuclear war. You know they're talking about these things. It's a very serious time. And it sounds a little bit like this.
Mr. President, I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimens. It would be quite easy. At the bottom of some of our deeper mine shafts, radioactivity would never penetrate a mine some thousands of feet deep. And in a matter of weeks, sufficient improvements in dwelling space could easily be provided.
How long would you have to stay down there?
Well, let's see now. Cobalt thorium G. Radioactive half-life of possibly 100 years.
You mean people could actually stay down there for 100 years?
It would not be difficult, my Fuhrer. Nuclear reactors could... I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nuclear reactors could provide power almost indefinitely. Greenhouses could maintain plant life. Animals could be bred and slaughtered. Quick survey would have to be made of all the available mine sites in the country. But I would guess that dwelling space for several hundred thousand of our people could easily be provided.
Well, I would hate to have to decide who stays up and who goes down.
That would not be necessary, Mr. President. Could easily be accomplished with a computer. And the computer could be set and programmed to accept factors from youth, health, sexual fertility, intelligence, and a cross-section of necessary skills. Of course, it would be absolutely vital that our top government and military men be included to foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition. Actually, they would breed prodigiously, eh? There would be much time and little to do. What's the ratio of, say, 10 females to each male? I would guess that they should then work their way back to the present gross national product within, say, 20 years.
But look here, Doctor, wouldn't this nucleus survivors be so grief-stricken and anguished that they envy the dead and not want to go on living?
No, sir. Also, when they go down into the mine, everyone would still be alive. There would be no shocking memories. And the prevailing motion will be one of nostalgia for those left behind, combined with a spirit of bold curiosity for the adventure ahead.
Doctor, you mentioned the ratio of 10 women to each man. Wouldn't that necessitate the abandonment of the so-called monogamous sexual relationship? I mean, as far as men were concerned.
Regrettably, yes. But it is, you know, a sacrifice required for the future of the human race. I hasten to add that the women will have to be selected for their sexual characteristics, which will have to be of a highly stimulating nature.
I must confess, you have an astonishingly good idea there, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, a little more of Dr. Strangelove there. Well, if you just tuned in, you've reached the infamous and the rogue and the legendary Von Weehan Show. We're here live every week, and we're so glad you're here tonight.
To lose. It's a sense of compliment, meaningless now.
Enjoying the song there, just chilling out to that. Yeah, that's very, very crazy.
Strawberry
times, man. It's
sense of peppermints. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you surfing in the Black Sea tonight by war-torn Ukraine?
Yeah. Checking everything out, making sure that, you know, everything's copacetic. But, yeah, it looks like... I don't know, in some way, man, I watch these news and what's going on. It's kind of like, you know, I'm kind of waiting for a false flag to happen here, you know, similar to like, well, this is, we can make a lot of parallels to World War II, you know, and maybe something similar to Pearl Harbor, and get a gin up a war, you know, because the powers that be, I think, really want us there, you know, so...
they do.
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's perilous times. It's just so surreal, you know, that what's going on right now. But you know, it's a sad situation all around. You know, war is like they say is hell. You know, and I mean the lives lost. I mean it's just. But you know.
Oh, it's terrible, it's, man. All those crazy Ivans running around Ukraine. Those crazy Ivans.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their armored personnel. They're going
they
nuts,
food,
man. You know?
They're running out of food. They're running out of fuel. It's almost like they're going to desert. You know, it's, you know, I saw they found a tank and there were food rations and the people showing this. The food rations expired in 2015, you know, so you got to kind of,
sure.
You know, plus a lot of these, I think these Russian soldiers, they were told it was a peace mission, you know, and they're going to rid the,
oh yeah,
rid the country. Of
oh
Nazis.
Yeah.
So the propaganda is so thick. It's
well, this is what I would tell Putin. Hold that thought. I would tell Putin, Brett, if you thought you were going against the Nazis in Ukraine, you're partially correct because they are the offspring of the Waffen-SS legions there in Ukraine. And you should have been more prepared to invade Ukraine. You should have been a hell of a lot more prepared. You're going against Hitler's Wehrmacht and Nazi armies. You go in half-assed, get your ass kicked. What do you expect, boy? What do you expect? Come
well,
on. You're the one saying, I got
to
– hold on, wait. Putin says, Brett, I've got to denazify Ukraine. Well, then – man, you should have been beefing up your army for 2 years to go in. You did everything half-assed. Then he whines about it. See, I can poke holes in both those countries and how they did this. Ukraine did not prepare, and Russia did not prepare. How about those apples, Brett?
Yeah, I agree there. You know, it was a... It's kind of like what's going on here. It's very interesting, you know, how a lot of people just aren't prepared. If we had a financial collapse, if we had a power grid out or something like that, you know, you just need
right.
to be prepared. And you know, Putin, I don't know if he is. Maybe he's got a very, very expensive glass pipe, but he's smoking something. I don't know what kind of meth. It must be something from Breaking Bad. But...
Right.
You know, it's just so ridiculous, you know, going in without, give them very little food and,
you know what, you just gave me an epiphany, Brett, that I just got, and a great idea for what you just said. Next week's theme is Putin is Breaking Bad. That's a good one. look, we want to see a big, big war. To be facetious here, nobody wants to see suffering, of course, to the Ukrainian people. But my point is this: if you're Russia and you're Putin and you're going to invade Ukraine with their history of World War II, you are not prepared at all for this invasion. Piss poor performance of your military, it shows. And if you're Ukraine, knowing The history of the Red Soviet Beast satanic armies of World War II, they murdered their way all throughout Europe and the Cold War. You should have been really ramping things up. I would have had defenses like going crazy, tank traps. I would have not waited to the last minute to build those hedgehogs. I would have had a million of them ready to go to throw in front of the tanks.
I think
would have had
exactly
tons of more weapons and then training. And you don't wait till you're invaded. The moral of this story is, you know, I told all of you guys from the last show, watch this war go on because you learn so much. You learn what not to do. We're learning tactics of the Soviet Army, the Red Russian Army. They're basically a paper tiger. They're not as tough as they thought they were. And now we're seeing it in real time. And it's amazing how weak and how effed up they really are. I mean, Brett, these guys are like MacGruber on the Russian line. Give me a wire. Give me a bomb. Let's jerry-rig it. They're like MacGruber. They're blowing themselves up. Their bombs are going in all the wrong places. And then they, you know, I mean, this is like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. I mean, the Russian army can't shoot straight. I know it's their tactics probably, but I mean, really, they're like the MacGruber of armies. I mean, bombs have went off in their back line. Tanks, no spare parts for tanks. I mean, the tires are bad. They're rotten. It's rotten rubber. They're broken down all over the place. It's the MacGruber army, basically. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, it's so ridiculous that it's almost like it really isn't real, and it's really just to get a war going, you know, and to get sympathy over here. You know, it's almost like, I know that's kind of a conspiracy, but, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be too far-fetched to think, man, they really want to just, you know, well, the film wagged the dog, you know. It is. It looks so silly that you're like, well, wait a second. Is this real? You know, I mean. Almost makes you wonder, you know, when you see some of this stuff. But I don't know. It's just crazy, you know, a pandemic. And usually after you think, you know, what happened after the Spanish flu? You know, you have World War One, and, you know, and they're moneymakers, you know, for the military-industrial complex. So it's very, I don't know. It's just very... scary times, man. You know, it's you know.
Well, Brett, we have a chat room, as you well know. That,
yeah.
Right, we have a chat room, as you well know, folks. It's on the Blog Talk Radio chat room. Lincoln has a good point, which I brought up before on the show. It is hilarious that Putin wants to denazify Ukraine, and at the same time, our media is claiming that Putin is Hitler. Can't have it both ways, guys. So it is like the Western media Lügenpresse and the NATO Lügenpresse, fake news, you know, but it's just amazing what's been going on, man. Brett, we're glad you're safe and sound, man. I'm glad you're not over there fighting, man, because we need you over in this country with the surfboard ready to rock and roll, man, you know?
Of course. Always ready, man. Always ready. All right, brother.
Brett, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night, buddy. We'll talk again soon, man.
All right, Vaughn. Talk to you, man.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it, man. Let's get to Gunslinger, then Lincoln, closes out the show. We're in official overtime now. I know Gunslinger's been waiting for a while. Mr. Gunslinger, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good in Texas. It's almost spring, except for tomorrow. It's supposed to be cold, but that's Texas weather, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Minutes, it'll change. You know how that works. But
true.
Well, here's another interesting thought on little old Putin over there, okay? We all know he's spent his entire adult life in the Russian military, basically, okay? He was old school KGB, all this stuff, right, okay? He has actually lived and ate and spoke military tactics his entire life, okay? And for him to pull something like this, okay, going into Ukraine, I don't care if it's what country, X country, it doesn't matter at this point, okay? So ill-prepared, okay? Tanks running out of gas. I mean, going into police stations and say, hey, can I borrow some gas? My tank ran out of gas. Okay? No food.
Yeah, literally.
The equipment gets blown up and soldiers killed and everything. I thought Russia was supposed to be the second biggest military country in the entire world, the entire history. It's just stupid. It would be the same thing as pulling out.
Hey, Gunslinger, the background noise, can you turn down the radio?
It's not me. I don't think
you got the radio or TV on.
Nothing here.
Really? Okay. Nothing. Strange.
Oh.
Are you in a store?
Oh, sitting here at my desk. Nothing going here.
Interesting. We heard some other people talking on this line. Strange, man. Probably some more electronic harassment from the NSA and the CIA, of course.
Yeah, Blog Talk
Go
Radio,
ahead, sir.
Too, you know. But, you know, it's a classic example, but you could boil it down into a simple classic example. It's like if I left here and I put my gun in my holster, but I left the bullets here on the desk. Gee whiz.
Right.
How stupid is that? Okay. I mean, for these people to do, or for Putin to do this, is insane.
Well, Austin's so happy with that.
With his grand. There's a couple of reports that I've heard over the past few days now that they've come up. Well, I don't know how true it is. It could be just to say, they say that Putin could be some type of ill.
You remember that, my lord? Remember?
Could this be a fine?
She is working with the Rowleys, another company that deals
with... Yeah, Gunslinger, it's just a bad line, man. We're hearing some other chatter there. Sorry about that.
Crazy.
Go ahead and put out there your points. We may have to cut the call a little short here. Go ahead, man. Try it again.
Like I said, it's so stupid that people do this, or he's doing this. Could it be if the reports are correct and he has some type of terminal illness? Could it be a final blowout, as the old saying goes? Because I've heard this for the past several days now. He's so military. It's stupid that he's doing this kind of stuff. And being so stupid, go ahead.
Well, he has no excuse being a KGB military guy. I have a hard time believing that the invasion plans, that they wanted to be like MacGruber out there, because they're literally pulling over, asking for directions from Ukrainian towns that they're invading. How do we get to Kiev? And they're pulling over into Ukrainian gas stations, gassing up the and then what happens is their military credit card doesn't work in Ukraine, and they're stuck there. Well, I would tell those guys, you won the war lottery. You're out of the war. Your tank has no gas. So I would just ditch it and not die for Putin and go to the nearest bar and have a few vodka shots. But that's just me. You know, if you're a draftee in Russia, don't die for Putin. It's just not worth it.
You know, it's kind of like a episode of Abbott and Costello and the Keystone Cops. This is what it reminds me of.
Right.
Of sloppiness and the ill-prepared situation that he just goes in there willy-nilly like this. There's something else. Okay. There is something else to this. I don't know what it is. Like I said, maybe he has some type of terminal illness. I've heard reports now for the past several days.
Right.
He might have some cancer or something. How true that is, I don't know. Maybe it could be his final, you know, his final battle, you know, whatever. Okay. But that's really, really, really strange, you know, for him doing this. And then just for what? I mean, what is he going to do? Is he going to nuke the place and then nobody gets it? I mean, what good is Ukraine going to be if he tries to start, you know, lobbing nukes over there? I mean, really? So that's
why I put out That's why I put out, you know who MacGruber is, right? That's why I said Putin is MacGruber. You know who that is, right? MacGruber is that funny skit they have on Saturday Night Live where the guy, at every episode, he ends up blowing up the building or blowing up, you know, and it's hilarious. You know, it was based on that show MacGyver, but they call it MacGruber. It's, you know, it's funny. So anyway.
Yeah, it is.
It's really bizarre because I've heard bombs are falling off trucks, blowing up one convoy or part of it. It's amazing all the melee over there. But Gunslinger, have a great night, and we'll talk to you again soon, buddy, okay? Take care, buddy.
All right.
You know it. Yeah, we heard some chatter on that line there. It was strange. We'll get over to Lincoln here in flyover country. But before we do, we're going to play a little something for him to welcome him on the show.
What?
Brother, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. Lively show, a lot of good conversation, a lot of good calls. What are your thoughts tonight, man? Amazing news, huh?
I guess my first question is, you remember when we were kids, when I was a teenager, you could sign up for this thing called like a party line where you had to share like a phone line with other people. Is that what Gunslinger
is? I think he's on a Skype party line. Yeah, because when he went off the line, it was still a little bit on there, but then it went away. So, yeah, it must be the Skype party line. Funny as hell.
No, I
normally can tune out the background noise. Yeah, I've got a studio board where I can tune some of that stuff out, but that one there was just too much to tune out. So what are your thoughts on Ukraine tonight, man?
On a party line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. The Ukraine thing, this is one thing that amazes me. I spend all this time on Telegram and Gab and places, and everyone's got their opinion. They're pro-Russia. They're pro-Ukraine. They're pro-this. They're pro-that. Base Putin. Base Zelensky. It's, you know, it's...
Right.
This is the thing that I don't understand about Ukraine, the Ukraine-Russia situation. This is the one thing that really messes with my head. The same people that I talk to that are into history, they know all about the Lugan Press. They know all about, you know, even the same people that will tell me point blank that they've just woken up and realized they've been lied to their entire life about damn near everything by the media
are the exact same people right now that are just gobbling up every bit of shit they see on our media. We really don't know what the hell is going on over there. We only see what they want us to see.
Yeah, true. What I would say to that, Lincoln, is there's so many independent news sources that are reporting after a while, and I know what people will say, well, they're all owned by the same people. There's a lot of alternative news, and I always say that the truth has a way of trickling out. Now, what I find funny is people – now, I know there's CGI in Hollywood and special effects, but you have people in our country who are so cynical, who are so jaded, no matter who dies, they'll say, oh, that's the crisis actor. That never happened.
Yeah.
You know, Putin's a saint. He's a savior. You don't get it, guys. He's going to go save the world. So my thing to them is, if you think a KGB colonel, seriously, is going to save the world, I use your words, throw it back in their face. I go, you are effed up mentally. You are a political moron, and you're the one who's brainwashed. KGB colonel doesn't give a rat's ass about you or liberating the kids in the dumps beneath Kiev or liberating the biolabs or whatever else he's going to find over there, all kinds of corruption, right? It's got nothing to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you Putin is not in the Kremlin doing his calculus going, you know, I really should save the world for the New World Order, and I really should, you know, invade Ukraine, subject my country to nuclear war, have civil unrest at home, go through millions and billions of rubles, spend my country's wealth and treasure on an invasion just so I can liberate some people or grab some lab specimens from the bowels of Ukraine. If people think that, man, are they politically naive, and they really believe it. They really believe it. They'll say, I'm pro-Putin. I go, well, good for you. Good for you. I'm pro-nobody. How about those apples? I'm not for Putin. I'm not for Zelensky either. What I am for, I'm for the Ukrainian people. If my home was attacked, my land, my business, well, those are fighting words. I can easily see those people, I'm on their side. I don't agree with everything that Zelensky says or Putin. And Zelensky, as we've talked about, has a very colorful career, to be candid, you know, with gay videos and everything else. So, you know, bizarre, to say the least. It doesn't matter if you're an actor. You get to pick and choose your roles. What gets me is he chose those to make those videos. He chose it. He selected it. And that tells me a lot about his character or lack of. And then when he gets the country, he screams to the world, you're supposed to give me free weaponry and free stuff. And I'm going, dude, you were rolling in cash for years.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you don't have a warehouse or stockpiles of Kalashnikovs, AK-47s, anti-tank weapons, grenades? Now, I know you were paying off the Bidens and everything else, but my thing is take 5 or 10% of that cash and buy armaments. I mean, when this thing went down, they were scrambling for guns too. When he had that famous thing, I don't need a ride, I need ammunition. I'm going, well, yeah, well, you should have bought that, dumbass, years ago. You should have warehouses full of ammunition. You shouldn't be begging the Western world when the Soviet tanks are coming in for ammunition. It's crazy. I'm the only one that views it from that angle. Any other talk show, they'll say, my God, what a hero he is. He's so wonderful. Lincoln, you have no idea how wonderful he is. Come on. You know,
that reminds me of another country. There's another country in the world that has the best border wall in the world. They also have free health care for their citizens.
They also have free college, free education for their citizens. They have basically free everything in their citizens. They basically live like they're in the NSDAP, and then they beg us, but they don't have money for the Iron Dome. They've got to have money for the Iron Dome. They have to have this money. They just don't have the money. They're poor and starving. I can't watch Fox News for an hour without seeing about these starving people I need to donate money to right now because they're poor and they're starving. But they have free education for their citizens. They have the best border wall in the entire world. But they beg us for money.
Israel has a commercial on Fox News. I agree, every hour, asking for money. One thing I give them, look, Lincoln, I give them credit for one thing. They asked for money. And, look, I mean, I've always said that we need to start asking for money. We should be asking for money. Give me donations. We're a sponsor to the show. You know, we need donations too. But I will give – they have a great PR campaign, and they have their people, their lobbyists in D.C., don't they? AIPAC and the rest.
Isn't it funny, though? How ironic is it that, Zelensky and that whole government, they have all this money for all this other shit, but they don't have money to defend their own country. You know, there's another
country that has all this
money for this other shit, but they don't have money for their own country. But they have plenty of money for their own country as long as it's not defending their own country. Then they rely on other countries to defend them. It's also funny that other country we mentioned, they don't have money for. They can't defend themselves. They don't have money for the Iron Dome, but they got a hell of a lot of money to put on AIPAC and pay politicians.
That's my point. They are playing lots of games with politics and all these things. They can pay for lobbyists. They can pay for suites in D.C. that are not cheap. They can pay off politicians, suitcases full of cash. You know, Zelensky can bring over the sons of bring over Hunter Biden and pay him with Burisma oil, $80,000 a month. He can bring over, John Kerry's son, Pelosi's son. No problem. Stamp the visa. You're in the country. All kinds of chicanery, financial games, shell games going on, energy games, right? But I'm like going, okay, you knew this was coming, bucko. Why weren't you preparing for, why weren't you gearing up? Because you knew it. If push came to shove, I won't spend a nickel I'll be fair here. He spent a lot of money on his own defense, but not as much as he should have. When push came to shove, you knew you were going to, cry wolf, and you wanted NATO to come to your aid, and you wanted America to come to your aid. And we are. But I'm going, you should have been preparing your own. No wonder you're surrounded in Kiev. It's your own damn fault. On one level, it is. Because had you massed up militias, trained hundreds of thousands of more of your people, which is what I would have done, when the Soviets come in, the old Soviet Guard and Putin, they still would have been stuck at the Russian border. If it was me, they wouldn't be that deep into my country at all. But, you know, now he's saying, I'm surrounded. You got to help me. You got to, come on. I mean, he's doing a good job now. He did rise to the occasion. He is acting presidential now. But I'm going to, it's kind of like the media is lapping it up, right? But it's kind of like too little, too late, man. You're about to be crushed by millions of pounds of Russian soldiers and equipment. They are inching to you slowly. I call it a slow annihilation of Ukraine. Slow annihilation. Inch by inch, day by day. That's how the Russians operate. They're like the red beast is coming at you. But they're gaining ground. And every day the news tightens a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. So it's crazy, man.
It's like I said in your chat room earlier, man. My thoughts on that whole situation, man, is pretty simple, to be honest with you. And this, I catch shit from both sides sometimes.
because I go by the simple philosophy that we have no dog in that fight. All I see happening is that a bunch of white folks already make up a majority, you know, a minority of this world. We always call everyone else a minority, but reality is we make up like 8 to 10% of the world population, while we call everyone else a minority. And now we got another brother war with white people killing white boys on behalf of non-white people. I noticed that when these wars start off, it's always the non-whites are the first ones to flee and leave the white man to stick there and fight the battles. I have no dog in that
That's
fight.
Right.
To me, the whole thing is just silly, stupid. It shouldn't even be happening in the first place. I wish the soldiers from both sides, I wish the Ukrainian soldiers would take out their government. I wish the Russian soldiers would take out their government, and they would put in a true nationalist party. Well, don't get me wrong. I think that Putin is a nationalist. I think he does look out for Russian interests before anything else. And as far as the Russian front, we're punishing Russia. The world's going to punish Russia by taking away fast food, porn, video games, credit, debt, things like that. Hell, if anything, we're making Russia an even better country, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's the same thing that I thought, have a ceasefire and have both armies remove their current governments and just start from scratch. The problem is, you know, that's not going to happen. We know that. That would be in my wish list. It's kind of like my wish list for Santa Claus. But Santa Claus isn't going to bring that president this year, you know. I think there's going to be a lot more suffering of the people. And, Putin is indiscriminately killing women and children, maternity wards, farms, livestock. He has his soldiers shoot at people as they're going through the human corridors into Poland, over the border, shooting them at will. He could call that off in a micro minute. You see any soldier doing that? Firing squad immediately. And they stop. We would get down to the ranks. You better believe it would. But he doesn't care. And it's a mess. It's a complete mess. And, the people in – now, if I was in Ukraine, this is why I always tell folks, the government – this is a classic case where the government does not come to save you, right? Zelensky's in his bunker. His party loyalists are in his bunker. We hope they're listening tonight and learning something, actually, of how they're doing a valiant job with their defense at this time. Valiant job. Excellent job.
Agreed.
I would be on the phone, too, asking for all the help in the world. You'd better believe it. But I wouldn't have waited till my country was invaded. Having said that, this is going to grind on. We're probably going to see next week where the Soviets finally capture Zelensky or a member of his cabinet in a week or two, or this month coming up, put it that way. And, it's going to be interesting what happens. But, it didn't have to get to this point, is what I'm saying. Ukraine gave up their nukes as part of the deal back in the day. This is a long rabbit hole, folks, about Ukraine. I advise you to read about it. They've been fighting over there for years. It was brewing for a long time. You knew it was coming. But if I was a Ukrainian citizen, I would have either left the country a couple years ago and said, I know invasion is imminent, we're gone, or I would have been beefing up my security on my own. Don't rely on Zelensky to save you. He can't save anybody. He's even said that. He's in his bunker. So that's another case where the government's not coming to save us in America, and they're not coming to save Ukrainian people. At best, they can give you a human corridor and maybe some food, maybe a few army guys to say, keep your head down, and there's the border. Keep walking. At best, all they can do. What are your thoughts?
The Ukrainians have firsthand knowledge better than we ever will.
you know, a lot of these Ukrainians, and this, I think this is a lot of the standoff there, which is a lot of these Ukrainian nationalists were raised by grandparents and whatnot who remember the Holodomor, things like that, where these Russians came in and just absolutely slaughtered, raped, abused, lots of Ukrainian citizens. And a lot of those were raised by people who remember that stuff, so they're willing to die to never experience another Holodomor. So they're going to – I think they're going to fight for their lands, so they have a lot to fight for. I think it's hilarious and ridiculous at the same time that they're just taking turns calling each other Nazis, which is ridiculous, stupid. Neither one is. But you know, that's how you sell yourself on the global world, was, you know, if you call the other one a Nazi, and they, you know, well, oh my God, we have to hate them. But neither one is the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Neither one is. Neither one of those is even anywhere close to that. I wish they were. I'd got to go there.
Right. I know. Lincoln, thanks for calling the show, man. Hell for victory out there. Go ahead, man.
I want to say one more thing. As far as our own country, I just want to say one more thing. Our politicians in our enough. We're talking about them. As far as our own country goes, man. I know you're on over in overtime. You're paying for this. So I'll make it short. It makes me sick to my. We're so focused on that over there. But right here in our own country, did you see where we just passed like $14 billion to send Ukraine in aid? Where, you know, it was not long ago. We were arguing about $4 billion to build a wall and protect our own borders, and that was a no-go. That was like a two-year fight that couldn't happen, tied up in courts and all this shit,
right,
for $4 billion. You know, whenever the COVID pandemic happened, and I was one of those guys short-term, not long, but like 2 months, on unemployment, and, you know, Republicans were like, oh, we can't, you know, get this beefed-up unemployment insurance. That's just ridiculous. We can't do it. We don't have the money. We can't afford that shit. And now all of a sudden, like literally within a few days, it takes them no time to come up with $14 billion to give to Ukraine. So to me, our politicians from both parties are disgusting.
I agree. I've always said we have many more problems here at home. Our Congress is famous. They can find money for Ukraine. They can find money for, China, they can find
Israel.
Money for Israel and a number of other countries. But when America needs money, oh, we don't have any money for that. We have no money for your border. Screw you, they always tell the American taxpayers. But keep paying those taxes so you can send your money all over the world. And that's another classic case of our borders wide open. There's no wall, but yet we there's no money for the wall. No money. Zero tax dollars. We have $14 billion we found overnight for Ukraine. Good point, Lincoln, which we made a million times on this show. Hell for victory, buddy. Have a good night. We'll talk soon.
Hell victory, brother.
That's right. On Telegram and elsewhere. Folks, you've been listening to the infamous Von Wien Show. Great show tonight. Great calls. I would say that neither is Zelensky nor Putin is the world's savior at this moment in time. Putin is going into Ukraine not for lofty goals or altruistic purposes. He is not a good Samaritan. It is just a naked power and land grab to rebuild the old Russia Soviet empire. The people thinking Putin is trying to destroy the new world order are completely delusional, to say the least. He just wants more money and power and land for himself. You know, it's true, America. We'll be here next Thursday night, and we may have an emergency broadcast if the war continues, and I will try to reach out to everyone if we do on a different night of the week. There's a lot of war news coming out. My mouth is stronghold. Thank you all for listening tonight. War in Ukraine is not an accident. Accidents never happen in a perfect world. Thank you all. God bless. We'll talk again soon. From my bunker and stronghold, good night, America.
in a perfect world. So I won't believe in